Let's get right to it. So this is going to be the promises of God in Christ, part three. And not coincidence, this is the blessing of Abraham. So again, the promises of the promise of God in Christ, part three, and the blessing of Abraham. So what does that mean to us? So our core text for this series has been 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, "For all the promises of God in Him," that is, in Jesus, "are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless You this morning, Lord, and I just pray that You would speak through Your servant this morning. I yield myself to You, Lord. I thank You for the obedience of Your saints. We thank You for Your word that has already come forth. We thank You for this time of lifting our voices together. We thank You for Your provision, Your blessing, Lord. You've called, as You called Abraham to be a blessing unto the nations, Lord, You've called Your church to be a blessing unto the nations, Father. And I just pray that our eyes will be open in all the ways that You've called us to walk in You, Lord, to minister to one another and to the world. We just bless You in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you turn to this morning, we're going to look at the promise to Abraham that has thus become our promise by inheritance. In Genesis chapter 12, we'll start with verse 1. We'll read verse 1 through 3. That's Genesis chapter 12. This is God's call to Abram. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So let's just look for a moment. I'm going to give you a few texts. You don't have to turn there. But just showing that there's no doubt in this place, and hopefully for anyone that listens to this, that these blessings have been inherited by us when we believed on Jesus. Just a few words from Paul in Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. It says this, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." So Paul here is talking about those that work for their righteousness, trying to obtain it through the law, and yet of Abraham, who is our father in the faith, and to the Israelites, even of the flesh, it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Anybody blessed because their sin's not been imputed to them here this morning? Amen. I am blessed. And again, Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 and 13 and 14, it says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith," that was me, I was also heathen, "but the gospel has been preached," it says, "preached before the gospel unto Abraham." Remember, we've touched on this, that seed that was promised. That gospel of that seed that would come forth was preached to Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 through 29, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Guys, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The New Living Translation says that last verse this way: you are his heirs, and now all the promises God gave to him belong to you. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I want you to see some of the privileges of the promise that you receive like Abraham. Number one, you have been called to walk with God, which is the heart of all blessing. Say that. The heart of all blessing, is to have a walk with God. And the Scriptures will bear that out. You'll see that in a moment. You don't have to repeat that. Number two, you have been called to a place and a position in God. And number three, you have been called to a people in God. Let's just talk for just a moment, because this is important. If we're talking about receiving the promises of God, part of those promises are wrapped up in the word of what it means to be blessed. And I think there's a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of confusion about this. Now, we touched on this just for a moment last week, prior to Jennifer giving her testimony. Guys, in truth, old covenant and new, those that have followed the Lord and wanted to stand for righteousness and holiness have been persecuted. Period. Jesus said those that would believe on Him and follow Him, He didn't say you might be persecuted. He said you would be persecuted. Paul said for all those that would live godly in Christ Jesus, you would walk through tribulation. Make no mistake, living in a fallen world and standing for the one that is holy with a world that is corrupt, you will experience tribulation. Jesus was blessed of God, and yet He was a man of sorrows. How can these two things coexist? I thought that all the blessings of God made one rich and there was no sorrow with it. We have to be careful about what we mean by that. We are rich in Christ Jesus, and God is our provider, and He has provided abundantly. And to be sure, to be blessed means provision, it means life, it means health, it means good things. It does not mean bad things. Those bad things we can count only as blessings in the sense that I have been counted worthy to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus. When you confuse tribulation and the terrible things that happen in this life with as being good things from God and not from the enemy, you confuse the very nature of God. He can allow these things to happen because He is good, because it would be better to suffer through those and recognize your fallenness and awaken to your plight and believe on Him. That's good. That's blessed. But to be in Him and for these things to be happening, I don't confuse sickness with the goodness of God. There is nowhere when you read about those that would believe they've been blessed of God that would think, praise you, God. This sickness is a blessing. It's not a blessing. But it doesn't mean He's not a blessing. When Job suffered through what he suffered, he recognized that God was still good, but he knew something was amiss. Something's wrong. But he said, but the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And he wouldn't, despite his wife's beckoning unto him to just curse God and die. He wouldn't do it. He couldn't see into the spiritual all that was happening, but he knew something was happening. He was going to continue to trust God, the one who had blessed him all his life up to this point. So let's just look at that word for a moment. And because we're in Genesis and we're walking up through the promises of God and we started in Genesis, let's just look at how this word bears itself out a little bit up to this point. God spoke over the creation when He created the world and He blessed it. He blessed all of His creation, of the different types of plants and animals. There was given a place to belong. He created the heavens and the earth, and to the birds, they would soar through the heavens, and to the fish of the sea, they would swim in the waters that He provided to them. And then He brought up the animals out of the ground, and they would have pasture to graze in. And He created man and made a garden. So He gave them a place to thrive and flourish and produce. There was favor, there was life, with strength and fertility, for He told them to fill the earth and gave them the power to do so, the ability to produce. The words prosper and provision would easily fit here because He provided all that was necessary for life, and He even provided Himself, whom would walk in the cool of the garden with Adam and Eve. All of that seems like blessing to me and what I would associate with blessing. But these are just part or fruit of a greater whole. God pronounced His blessing over the creation, and yet when He created man and woman, He didn't just make a declaration, He didn't just pronounce, He actually communicated unto them the blessing. Meaning there was something different that He had with Adam and Eve than He had with the rest of creation. He had a relationship. As far as people are concerned, to be blessed by God is to be one of God's own people with all the benefits that brings. In other words, and we've already said this, the blessing of God is His relational presence in your life. That is the sum of blessing. Again, the Scripture will bear this out. Genesis and the blessing of God's presence. God came to walk with His children, Adam and Eve, with His creation, His special creation, formed in His own image in the garden. Now, He may have had relationship with the animals, but it doesn't tell us that He came to walk in the garden with them. He came to walk in the garden, have fellowship with Adam and Eve. Now listen, after the fall, Adam and Eve have messed up. We know the story well. What does it say of all those that we read about in Genesis after the fall that would continue to seek the name of the Lord? How is their relationship with Him described? It says the godly were described as walking with God. God spoke to Abraham, as we just read, and promised His personal guidance on the journey. He said, to the land that I will show you. Which denotes that He wasn't abandoning Abraham. He wasn't pointing in a direction and saying, go, boy. He was walking with Him and said, I'm going to show you where I'm going to take you. To Jacob, He said, to Isaac, He said, I will be with you and I will bless you. To Jacob, He said, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. So again, I just want you to get it in your mind that as God, in God is life, there is no death in Him. That we know to be with Him is to be in life because He is the author of life. He's the very essence of life. Now, if you think I'm stretching this, let's look at what it means to be cursed. Cain, for his faults and what he did to his brother, he had a revelation and understood very well what it meant to be cursed of God. When God cursed Cain, listen to this. If blessing is to be in relationship with God, to walk with God, who, again, is Himself light and life, then to be cursed is not to be in right and intimate relationship with God. After God cursed Cain, Cain summarized the curse both as a loss of the benefits of being driven away from the ground, and what did the ground represent to Cain? Provision, increase. So he's losing his provision. He's losing his very livelihood, the very thing by which he partook of the earth to live. You're driving me from the ground. But listen to what he says after that. An access to God. He says, for from your face I shall be hidden. So it wasn't that he was losing the ability to till the ground where he had been. He was being driven from that area, but he was no longer going to be able to walk in relationship with God. The curse of God alienates one from God's presence, while the very essence of divine blessing is, I will be with you. We said, number one, you have been called to walk with God, which is the heart of all blessing. This is why Paul, and I'm getting ahead of myself, had learned to abound in all conditions in life because he was walking with Jesus. Whether he was abounding or abased, he was still at peace and still prospering because who was with him? Whether he was in the prison cell floor or whether he was in his own home teaching others about Jesus. In all of those states, Jesus was there with him and he knew that. Genesis 12:1, go to the land that I will show you, he told Abram. Just as Abraham would be led of God, you have been called to walk with God and been blessed with the Spirit of God. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, this is Jesus speaking, He will guide you into all truth. That is a promise for all of God's children in Christ Jesus, that when we believe on Him, He is going to give us the Spirit, and His Spirit will lead us into all truth. Just as with Abram, I will show you, I will lead you to the land that I want you to inherit. He has not left us just because He has went into heaven and is interceding. He has given His Spirit that we could all benefit thereby, that we could be in relationship, that we could be led of the Spirit, that the Spirit would lead us in to all truth. We did a sermon many weeks ago that talked about this, that our roadmap in this life is Jesus. That He is walking in intimate relationship with us via His Spirit, leading us and revealing truth and bringing His Word to life before us. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, the New Living Translation says, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are all those who put their faith in God. I love that verse. Number one, Paul's not shy about mentioning all the miracles that are being done among the Galatians, and he's concerned because they're now trying to have right relationship with God apart from faith in Jesus alone. They're trying to earn their credit with God. Like, how can we do this? And he says, how are the miracles that are happening among you done? Are they done because of the work that you've done or because of faith in Jesus? He says, because of faith in Jesus. Unless you dismiss the importance of that word miracles. We're not miracle chasers. We're chasing Jesus. It's because of Jesus that the miracles were happening. Again, because why? Because He's the author of life. And when He's really present, things can't remain the same. People start being healed. Steve and I just were partakers of listening in another man's testimony the other day who was working in a foreign country and preaching what? Preaching Jesus. And in the midst of preaching Jesus, guess what? The blind received sight, the deaf received speech, the mute received, excuse me, I'm getting that wrong. The deaf received hearing, the mute received speech. Because of any power of this man and his own righteousness? No, because of the righteousness of Christ in him and Christ's Spirit being present and working the things that only He can work. Think about this for a moment. What does it mean to be in relationship with God? You have a special position on this earth. We all know the story well. What did God say when He was getting ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah? Should I do this thing without telling my servant Abraham? Should I do this thing and not tell the one that I plan to bless all the earth through? Guess what, guys? When He moves in the earth today, He still tells those that He plans to bless the earth through you. He tells His church. He tells His prophets. He tells His church what is happening. In the book of Acts, when He's getting ready to cause a famine in the land, did His church know about it? Yes, His church knew about it. And His church can still know today if His church is walking with Him and not seeking every other voice out there in the earth, but just seeking Him, the one that is the author and the knowledge of all, if we would just seek Him. It's not about all the psychology and all the different things. It's about Him. He knows all. Again, God discussed His plans with Abraham, and He still discusses His plans with His church. Lord, again, use me this morning, Father, in the midst of my own weakness, and just let Your Word speak truth. You have been called to walk with God, which is the heart of all blessing. With the world ever looking for love and fulfillment in the wrong places or to the wrong person, the wrong people to fulfill in them, only that which the person of Christ can fulfill. You have found, or if you would have been found of God. You have been called a child of God. You have been called a friend of God, a friend who will never leave you nor forsake you. This is to be blessed. In the midst of a fallen world where, yes, God blesses and God provides, the fact is there still is sin in the world. And that finds its way and its effects in our life, and it sometimes touches us. But unlike the world, guess what? We have hope. And we can stand against these things. And we can be a blessing to the world. Why? Because we walk with God. And we can speak to things that the world can't understand. Why? Because we walk with God. You walk with God, just as Abraham. We said, number two, you have been given a place and a position in God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, to the land that I will show you, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. There's two things we see there. Abram was going to both inherit, or we should say his descendants would inherit, a land. It was promised to him, but also that he had a position. He would be the father. All that looked in faith to Christ would see Abraham as the father of that faith because he was given righteousness because he believed. Just as Abraham had a place and a position, a land and a position as father, you have been called to a place and a position in Christ today. Do you know that? Listen, Abram was called as an old man. The promise was fulfilled as an old man. We've already touched on the fact that young and old, you have a position in Christ's body. You have a ministry in Christ's body. You have a voice in Christ's body. It's easy, whether young and in these extremes or getting older, to think that we're washed up, we're burnt out, there's nothing left. And even we can be guilty. Say you're like me and you're still in your prime. Maybe not. To begin to become dismissive and maybe believe the lie yourself that perhaps someone, God, wouldn't use such a one. We need to be sensitive to what the Lord wants to use us to bless and encourage both young and old so that they can remember their place, that just as Abraham was used of God, then the promise wasn't fulfilled until he was an old man, then in the church that there is no retirement and there is no hiring age, that once you believe on Him, He's ready to begin to mature you and grow you and use you to bless you and to bless those around you as much as you are willing. And that's the funny thing about blessing. When you read it in context in the Scriptures, when God says He's going to bless a thing, He will bless it. But at the same time, we see the tension in the fact that often that blessing wasn't able to be utilized or received if the recipient didn't receive it and walk in obedience to it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 6a, it says this, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Now, just so you know where I'm going here, I believe in Christ, as the Word says, that those of us that have believed on Him, when the new heaven and the new earth are here, that we will have a possession of land. You can scramble and scratch today, and you can work to have something to pass on to your children, and I think that's good and well. But at the end of the day, just as Israel, God told Israel, He said, "I'm giving you this land, but this land, it's my land. I'm letting you use it." Guys, whatever you obtain, He's giving it to you to use. And that's why He can bless us. If we do it rightly and it's not to heap treasures unto ourselves, He can use you as a channel of blessing. He can pour out on you. Because we are reading through the Bible in a year, I'm in the section right now in Leviticus, and He's telling me, He says, when I bring you here, He says, "This is what I want you to do with this land." And He had the right to tell them that because it was really His. And he said, "You're going to worry about, well, what do we do when we get the year of Jubilee, and You've called us for 2 years in a row not to work or sow? Where's our food going to come from?" He says, "If you're obedient to Me and you trust Me, that third year when you do sow seed, there's going to be such a crop leading into the year of Jubilee." That 48th year, they were let the land rest on the 49th year, and then the 50th year, a year of celebration. He said, "There will be such a bumper crop, it will carry you through those 2 years over into the 51st year, and even that year, I will have those seed." More, He said, "There will be stuff left over each year, if you will just trust Me." Anyway, and I understand that we have a possession in the new earth, and He can bless here. But like Abraham, part of that is yet fulfilled, that we are looking at something still that hasn't fully happened, just as Abraham was when it came to his children possessing the land of Israel. So, but where has He placed us? Abraham held on to this, looking at it as in future, and so too we. But there is also a now that Abraham had to be obedient that he would become the father of these nations of in faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 6a, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Again, just to speak to what I've already said, that there is no one who has believed on Christ that we can discount, because everyone has been given a place in the body. And if they're not fulfilling that place, and if we're not recognizing that place, then something is missing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, it says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Again, thinking on Abram, who we're looking at him this morning, God called Abram to a land and would make him the father of a great nation. But then, before the promised child, Isaac, was to be born, what happened? Anyone remember? We have Ishmael. You know what's interesting? So we could almost literally say that Abraham was working this thing, fleshing this thing out, right? Literally, fleshing it out. But he made a mistake. And that's why Paul could say that this represents Mount Sinai and coming under the law, because this was done in the flesh. And yet God, because of covenant with Abraham, we don't see that God got mad at Abraham, do we? He said, you know what, I'm going to bless Ishmael too. But that's not where the promised child will come through, because I promised that Sarah would be pregnant. And I think that there's a lot of churches today, and maybe this falls to us sometimes, I don't know, that God is blessing things that have been done, but not through His Spirit. He did with Abraham, and He wasn't mad at him. But I mention this because I think that sometimes there's a lot of us that maybe, though we may even be going on in Christ for years, maybe we haven't quite figured out our place in His church. Anybody there? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That maybe you're still, so to speak, fleshing this thing out, trying to figure out what my gifts are, what role He's called me to. Well, if He wasn't angry with Abraham, I don't think He's angry with you. We're not talking about blatant sin. We're talking about being submissive and wanting to honor Him and wanting to see His will done. The question is, if you do get off track and He does show you, just be sure that you correct course quickly. But in the meantime, let's be seeking Him and be doing all that we know to do to fulfill that which He's called us to. But just make sure that you do recognize that every one of you has an office and a place to fulfill. Otherwise, Christ's body is not being rightly represented in this area. It's not. If you're not fulfilling your role, it's not being rightly represented. Because you have been given a place and a position in God. You know that you'll have a land and a city in the new heaven and earth. But God has given you a place and a position here and now. With the world ever searching for fulfillment, for purpose, with people ever looking for acceptance, you have been accepted in Christ. You have been placed in Christ. You have a ministry in Christ. You have a calling in Christ. Now I want you to take a moment and forgive me. Forgive your leaders if maybe they've not done as good a job as Paul and said, I'm laying hands on you, and here's the gift, and here's the call, and here's the anointing, and here's the position, and here's the ministry. We're still working things out too. What you need to do is take ownership. We're all called to take ownership of this thing. To say, Lord, I'm yours and you are mine. I am seeking you, and I am yielding to and submitting to others in your body who are searching you and walking with you just like I am. We're all working this thing out together. And if somebody has made a misstep like Abraham, we're going to forgive them just like God did and say, no, Ishmael wasn't the promised child. That's not how I planned on doing it. Let's correct course. Isaac will be the promised child. God's will be done. And we'll be in it together as long as we're willing to forgive one another like He's called us to. Number 3, you have been called to a people in God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2b through 3, it says, I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Just as Abraham would bless others, you have been called to a people whom you can bless. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with what? How many blessings in heaven? All of them. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9b through 10, it says this, when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Guys, we are God's representatives on this earth, ministers of reconciliation, and He has blessed us in heaven with every spiritual blessing. Our job is to call those blessings down and let them be exhibited on earth. That's why we pray, "Lord, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, I don't want to stretch, y'all forgive me because I've not heard anyone say this, and I don't want to misspeak, but the word blessing is interesting because when it pops up, you think, "Lord blesses the animals. He blesses Adam and Eve. He blesses. And then we start people, you know, usually it's the greater that's able to bless, but then we start seeing people bless God back. It's like, "Blessed be God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless you, Lord." Be careful here. I'm not trying to give weight to something that may not be there. But part of, I believe, is that we're giving place. There's a place that's been provided. Just as there's been a place provided to you, "I bless you, Abraham." Part of that we can see was He was providing a place for Abraham in Him and in the earth. When we bless the animals, there was a place prepared for them. We've been blessed in Christ, and there's been a place prepared for us. When we bless the Lord, we're saying, "Lord, we're inviting You. This is a place for You. We want Your will to be done through us." If His will is to be done on the earth, He has chosen men and women to do it through. And we want His earth, Lord, as in heaven, so on earth. Lord, You've given us all these blessings in heaven. We want to see them translated here on earth. We want to be living examples of Your will as in heaven, so on earth. And if not through us, not to seem pompous, but then through who? And that's kind of how you have to approach it. Lord, here I am. I don't know if anyone else is answering the call, but Lord, here I am. If no one else answers, Lord, here I am. I'm taking ownership of this thing. If everyone else falls to the side, though I don't hope that or believe that, here I am, Lord. Here is Jennifer. Here is Eric. Here is Brian. Here is Steve. Here is Susan. Here is Kristen. Here is Michael. Here is Mackenzie. Here is Ava Lee. Here is Liam. Here is Graham. Here is every one of you. Here I am, Lord. The people of the church, the people of your community are to be touched with a bit of heaven because you are in their lives and because Christ is in you. Period. How are we to be a blessing to the world? By being in relationship with Christ, who is the giver of life, the worker of miracles, the one that gives sight to the blind and opens up the ears of the deaf and looses the tongues of the mute, who heals those that are lame in their feet. Who can do these things? Our Christ can do these things. Who can forgive one? Only Christ can forgive. Who paid the price so that these things could be obtained? Who paid the price so that we can be inheritors of redemption and forgiveness and life? Christ did. Who did He call to be ministers of reconciliation? All those that have believed on Him. Who is going to show forth the goodness of God in the world and show forth that there is a place for others, that they can be part of a family, if it's not you? Who's going to show your neighbor? Who's going to show Logan? Who's going to show his parents? Who's going to show the family that lives next door to me that doesn't know the Lord, that's walking contrary to Him, if not me? Peter and James to the beggar at the temple. He said, "Do you have anything to give?" They're walking in. Guys, we go through seasons. He is our provider. But here we see that Peter doesn't have any silver or gold to give them. Does that mean that they weren't blessed? Does that mean that they weren't rich? Does that mean that they hadn't been provided for? No, of course they had been. And they'd been given so much more. What does he say? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." God called Abraham to be a blessing. But then, when in Egypt, what did he do? He hid a part of the truth. I don't think he outright lied. Sarah was his sister, which would later become a law that would say, "No, don't do that. That's a no-no." But at this point, he marries his half-sister. So he didn't lie to Pharaoh, but he didn't tell the whole truth either, did he? And there were consequences for the world, if you would, at least the world around him at that moment. Because if you don't remember, Pharaoh's house was struck with a plague. Bear with me for a moment. Abraham goes to Negev, and Abraham tells the people and King Abimelech that Sarah was his sister. what happened to King Abimelech and his household and those in his kingdom? It says that the wombs of the women were stopped up for Abraham and Sarah's sake. Remember, we're agents of blessing. And people won't be blessed if you don't walk with God and declare the things that He's called you to declare. It will be like the Negev, and it will be like Egypt. The blessing, the flow of blessing will be stopped up if we don't remain channels of blessing and we're not faithful and obedient to the end that Christ has called us to. Abraham had a message and a promise, and yet, just like us at times, he let fear creep in. And that fear had very real effects on the world around him. Guys, if the world is to be blessed, who's this going to be blessed through? It's going to be blessed through you because you have received the promise and the blessing of Abraham. But if you stop your mouth like Abraham did and don't speak the truth that Christ has called you to speak, how will they ever receive it? As soon as Abraham opened up to confess the truth, the plague was removed from the house of Egypt, from Pharaoh's house. As soon as he spoke the truth to those in the city of Negev, to the kingdom of Negev, it says that the wombs of the women were opened up. And remember, that ties back to the original part of blessing. It is about relationship with God, but it is also about provision and life and health. When he blessed the animals, he blessed them with life and health and the ability to reproduce, which is just a signpost of life, that there's vigor, right? There's not impotency, that there's life flowing through our veins. You have been called to a people in God. You are to own who you are in Christ and your place in ministry to the world He has called you to. You have been called to bless because you are blessed in Christ. You can bless and you don't have to worry about cursing because God is your defender. You can bless and curse not because God is your strong tower. You can bless and curse not because God is your shield. You can bless and stress not, anyone listening, because God is your provider. You can bless and curse not because God fights on behalf of His children. And He will avenge His saints. You need not worry about doing it. Your job is to bless. He fights on behalf of His children, His church, which is precious to Him. I will bless Abraham, and he will be a blessing to the nations. We have received the blessing of Abraham, but we've also received God's favor, and that He said, those that curse Abraham, I will curse. I will fight against them. Those that fight against the church, it may look like they're victorious for a season, but sadly, I know who wins. I've read the story of Revelation. I see what happens. It's not good. Don't let bitterness set in your heart, because God will take care of that. Your job is to bless. Bless those that persecute you. I say bless and curse not, Jesus said. In closing, I just want to remind you of these things this morning. You have been called to walk with God, which is the heart of all blessing. The very reason for creation, the very reason for all the great and precious promises of God is because God wants a people to be in relationship with, and He's called you. What a blessing. And that's where, if I said nothing else, that is the blessing, that Jesus is the blessing. Don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about. Remember your youth and remember your vigor and your desire to chase after that girl or that boy and how much you couldn't wait, maybe you weren't, I don't know, but to be in relationship and you thought, just one more moment with that person, I would do anything. I would spend sleepless nights driving so late at night just so that I could see her and have to get up early and go to work because it was worth it. Oh, and whether we're poor or rich, just to be with you. And then the romance fades and they go, I said poor, but boy, we really, I don't know. This is rough. But really in Christ, poor or rich, I am blessed because I am in relationship with Him. Not all the world can say that, but we're to show them that they can be in Him, that they can have a relationship, one that loves them and will love them rightly. To those that have been abused and had people misrepresent authority in their lives, you can show them one that walks in pure justice and holiness and is always faithful and never lies and never disappoints. There is such a one. You have been given a place and a position in God, and I just want to encourage you this morning to walk in it. Perhaps you know that place and position, and yet something has stopped you from fulfilling that role. Let it no more. You have been called to a people in God, and those people won't receive all the benefits that Christ has for them if you're not walking in what He's called you to walk in. If you're doing like Abraham and stopping your mouth or stopping your ministry or stopping the role that Christ has given you in His kingdom, don't do it anymore. Turn and be faithful with what He's given you. Whether that's a spiritual gift, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a role, whether it's an office, whether it's financially. If you want to be a channel of blessing, be faithful with what He's given. And He will open up the floodgates, His Word says. Be faithful. Be faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless You in this place this morning, Lord. And I just pray Your blessings upon this people, Father. And I'm thankful for Your faithfulness to us, Father. And we do thank You, Lord, that penance doesn't have to go on. That, Lord, You are quick to forgive when we truly turn. And we thank You. We thank You that Your mercies are new every day. And I just pray for more and more revelation of Your goodness unto us, Lord. I pray for more and more of Your Spirit. More and more of Your miracle working power, because You are in the midst of us, Father. I bless You in this place over every man, over every woman, and every child, Father. And we bless You over those who couldn't be with us this morning. Thank You for Your Spirit going forth in the earth through Your church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.